Okay. So Hamas is going to humiliate and parade three Israeli hostages out of Gaza tomorrow, after all. Spoiler alert, they never actually planned on holding back the release in the first place. Like every single word and action that Hamas has perpetrated since October 7th, 2023, this idle threat was yet another calculated and carefully curated maneuver to manipulate the hearts and minds of the world that they have so masterfully hypnotized. Boy, how I hate to use the word masterful, but there has not been as effective a propaganda campaign of pure evil since the Holocaust. I have to give this credit too, but as much as I hate it, Hitler was a master propagandist, and Hamas has taken note. You have to understand that Hamas is so sadistic, they are so cruel, barbaric, and inhuman that they will stop at nothing to turn the world against Israel and the Jewish people. The depths that they have gone to are so profound that I will only be able to touch upon some of them tonight as they pertain specifically to this phase one hostage exchange. I want you to try to grasp how utterly depraved these bloodthirsty psychopaths are, who are being hailed the world over as some sort of benevolent freedom fighters. Please listen and keep your comments respectful. I will answer every single comment that is based in truth and facts, and I will delete any that are vile, violent, or vicious. So let's talk about tomorrow, as the next three hostages are set to be released in a matter of hours. And it's no coincidence that they do this on Shabbat, which is supposed to be a day of rest for Jews and for Israel, a day of peace. But instead, they've transformed it into days of anguish and torture. Now, as you may know, earlier this week, Hamas said that they would be indefinitely postponing the scheduled release of hostages tomorrow. The excuse they gave? That Israel broke the ceasefire agreement. Now, before I go on, let me note that at the start of the agreement, Hamas was supposed to actually provide a list of all the hostages and all of their conditions, alive or deceased, healthy or ill. To this day, that has not been provided. Let's also note that just yesterday, Hamas fired a missile at Israel that happened to land in Gaza and kill a Palestinian child. Surely this kid will be added to the Gaza Ministry of Health statistic of children killed by Israel in the war, because that is what they do with all their friendly fire incidents. But let's be clear, there is nothing friendly about Hamas. Nothing. A few days ago, British jihadi-loving journalist Yvonne Ridley claimed that Hamas was friendly because they gave the released hostages goodie bags on their way out of brutally abusive captivity. What was in these bags? Mementos of the torture they endured for almost 500 days. She also forgot to mention the beautiful certificates of completion that the hostages got to pose with as well. It's all part of a perverted rebranding campaign that absolutely feebly attempts to portray Hamas as the good guys. So are you convinced? Because what Hamas claims were Israeli breaches of the ceasefire deal is pure gaslighting. Keep in mind that Hamas has broken every single ceasefire agreement with Israel ever, including the one that was in place on October 6, 2023. But I digress. The reason that Hamas suddenly made all these false accusations about Israel was simply to divert attention from last weekend's horror show and to try to turn the tables of world sympathy once again on Israel. Let's look at Hamas's stated reasons for threatening to keep the hostages against the terms of the agreed upon deal. A deal, by the way, which is very, very favorable to Hamas itself. Now, the first, Hamas claims that the IDF shot at Gazan civilians against the rules of the disengagement. Quick note. According to Hamas's narrative, there are actually zero terrorists or militants in Gaza, only innocent civilians. So keep that in mind. Yeah, like those ones in like the masks and the headbands with the machine guns, those innocent civilians. So what happened in this alleged shooting incident that they claim Israel broke the ceasefire? Well, there is right now an agreed upon buffer zone of 1,000 yards, which is nothing, that is enforced to prevent Hamas from perpetrating another 10/7 again and again, as they have threatened again and again that they will do if given the opportunity. Now, a group of these civilians ignored IDF warnings and came within 300 yards of the Israeli border. So yes, they were shot. That was Hamas going blatantly against the terms of the ceasefire, not Israel. There is no way that Israel is going to allow the terrorists back to its borders, nor should they. It is the IDF's job to protect Israel. They failed on 10/7, but they're sure as hell not going to fail again. Let's look at the second claim. The second reason that Hamas claims that they are going to, or were going to, withhold hostages is because they say Israel has prevented humanitarian aid from entering Gaza. This is as transparent an effort as it gets. As they know, their starvation claims have gripped the planet. Despite Israel facilitating over 3,000 calories per person per day into the Gaza Strip over the course of the war. So people hear aid trucks and hearts start bleeding. Oh, there's only one problem. Israel has not only been letting 600 trucks of humanitarian aid into Gaza every day during the ceasefire, but even the staunchly anti-Israel bureaucrats at the United Nations have attested to these provisions. So you can question Israel all you want. The fact is, the aid is getting through, and these claims by Hamas are completely fallacious. Now, third claim, Hamas is complaining that Israel won't allow heavy equipment into Gaza. That one is true. Why? Because it's stated in the deal that the rebuilding process cannot begin until all the hostages are freed. There are still 76 in captivity. 76 crimes against humanity, I might add. And so, according to the terms of the actual agreement, heavy equipment is not allowed into Gaza at this time. But all people know is that big bad Israel is stopping machinery from crossing the border. Sounds legitimate, doesn't it? Again, none of these claims is valid. They are all actually violations by Hamas, not Israel. And they are all intended to erase the mental images of Eli Sharabi, Or Levy, and Ohad Ben Ami from the public's mind. Lucky for Hamas, society's memory cycle is as short as its news cycle. And the gross public humiliation of these three men as they stood starved and beaten in front of a rabid, jeering crowd is all but forgotten. As soon as someone yells, yeah, but it's the Jews who are actually evil. It doesn't take much these days. Perhaps you've seen the viral side-by-side photos of a Hamas terrorist prisoner who was released from Israeli jail this past week. Again, no coincidence that this photo op occurred directly after this disgraceful hostage release of three innocent, I might add, Israeli men. The person who posted these photos of the Gazan terrorist claims that they are of her beloved teacher before and after Israeli prison. Picture on left. Normal and healthy. Picture on right, on death's door. Let's start with the fact that this convicted felon was a teacher. That part I actually believe because UNRWA. But what people don't know is that the picture on the right is actually a completely different person. Not just a totally different person, but a person who happens to be dying of stage 4 cancer, which is literally eating his body and explains why he looks like he's at death's door because he is. By the way, cancer, not Israel's fault. And let me add, if you don't already know, Israel actually provides life-saving care to its prisoners. Yes, terrorists with multiple life sentences too. And not to be a dead horse, but Israel even saved the life of Yahya Sinwar when he had brain cancer. We know how that ended. I guess it never actually ended, but we know how it's going. Now, Pallywood is nothing new. For at least a decade, Hamas has faked casualties and destruction to use as social media propaganda, whether in the form of photos, videos, or writing. AI has made that effort even more prevalent, replete with people with 6 fingers on their hands, and beheadings with no sign of blood. But it's not all AI. Sometimes they just use what's very clearly a $2 baby doll as a terror victim of the day, or child actors who I have to assume are not getting paid the SAG day rate. It even came out this week that the movie producers of Hamas forced newly released captive Daniela Gilboa to fake her own death for a propaganda video as they covered her in debris and claimed she was killed in an IDF airstrike. By the way, this isn't the first time that Hamas has claimed that a hostage was deceased and then it turned out that he or she wasn't. For them, is just another form of fun psychological torture. Which brings me to this weekend's upcoming release. Embrace yourself. Tomorrow's terrorist spectacle will likely be even more traumatizing than last week's, as Hamas has made a point of releasing the healthiest hostages first, and it's only gone downhill from there. And then the deceased will start to come home. Here's the thing. Last weekend, Hamas finally turned the screws too far. And some jihadi sympathizers woke up to the fact that maybe they were rooting for the wrong team. Hamas miscalculated. Somehow they thought the rest of the world would revel in the humiliation and horror as much as they did. But even the most rabid of Western Hamasniks at least gasped one deep gasp at the macabre spectacle that Hamas created. The Hamas propaganda machine suddenly hit a wall last weekend. Their whirlwind PR campaign landed with a thud, and it was time for damage control. My guess is that Hamas quickly calculated that, never mind Israel and the United States, the world would not smile down on them if they released three more hostages in similar states. And yet, again, most likely the remaining hostages are actually in even worse condition. So, what would be the best way to avoid that public relations fiasco that is certainly imminent? Don't release anyone else. And even better, blame it on Israel. Sounds like a good plan until enter Trump. Now, President Trump hears that Hamas is intending to hold back the hostages and reacts that if every single hostage is not released by noon tomorrow, all hell will break loose. And I quote, one problem. This whole entire war would have been like a 1 or 2 or 3 day war in the first place if it weren't for the hostages. It's only because of the hostages that this war has had to be so meticulously drawn out. It's only because of the hostages that are being hidden in the terror tunnels that Israel has not been able to just decimate the tunnels and the whole Hamas terrorist infrastructure with it. And Hamas knows that. The hostages are their only insurance policy for their own survival. There was no way that Hamas would give over all remaining 76 hostages tomorrow, even if Allah himself commanded it. There's no way they ever will. The question is, how many will they release back before the war resumes? And as much as it destroys my soul to say it, whatever hostages remain once war begins again, will likely be the heavy price that Israel pays for the ultimate defeat of Hamas. Tomorrow, Hamas will release 3 hostages, not 76. They're making a big show of this purported goodwill gesture in a desperate attempt to get back into the world's good graces. Of course, this is also in direct defiance of Trump and a deliberate provocation to make Israel and America look weak for not taking consequential action. But consequential action is unlikely to be taken until every possible hostage is brought home to Israel, however long that takes. This weekend, Sagui, Dekel, Chen, Sasha Truvanoff, and Yair Horn are slated for release. Sagui is a dual American-Israeli citizen. Surely he was added to assuage, on some level, President Trump by letting an American come home. And there actually is a ray of light in this darkness. Sagui will come home to meet his 1-year-old baby for the first time. So in all these bitter sweet releases that have occurred to date, that will be some pure and utter and well-deserved sweetness. Now, Sasha is a dual Russian-Israeli citizen. Do you see a pattern here? Thank you, Putin, for that one. This is all just a series of political games for Hamas. And Putin is not on the right side of history. Just FYI. Personally, I'm shocked it's taken this long to get Sasha released. And then there's Argentinian-Israeli Yair. A few weeks ago, he was added to the list, but his brother Eitan, also a hostage, was not. Neither one of these men is a soldier. And as we've seen, Hamas takes a great thrill in weaponizing their terror against families in every possible way. Releasing one brother and not the other is another case in point. Of the 3, Yair is the one I am most worried about because he would only be on the humanitarian list for health reasons and only if his health was in grave danger. I'm praying for the best, but tragically expecting the worst. Hamas has done everything they can to torture the hostages, their families, and the whole nation, down to the very last detail and the very last possible moment. In November of 2023, Shiri, Ariel, and Kfir Bibas were scheduled to be released. And Hamas claimed they couldn't be located. Then they claimed the Bibases were killed. But no evidence has been provided to date. It is possible that the Bibas family, with the only 2 children who remain in captivity after about 500 days, is still alive. And that this is just yet another turn of the screw. My guess is that phase one will end when Hamas fails to return the Bibas family to Israel as promised and as the whole nation awaits. The PR will just be too damaging for Hamas, and they know that phase two is a pipe dream at this point anyway. Hamas's death warrant has been signed, and they are their own signatory. It's also devastating. And as long as even one hostage remains, our heart will stay captive in Gaza.